Chapter number four, that's where we'll be, and it is 7:15. I told some of them that'll be in discipleship and in the teen service. I told them to be prepared to be done by 7:45-ish because we would not go till 8 o'clock. And so I believe that will be the case. So Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to preach to you tonight, not on a subject that I've got down. In fact, I don't know very many Christians that have to gather this area of their Christian life altogether. There are a few that I've had the opportunity to be around throughout the years, but I don't know very many that consistently are faithful in this area. Hebrews chapter 4, and just want to read a few verses, starting at verse number 14. And the Bible says this, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. The Bible says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be in your house, God. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to open your word. God, I will ask you, Lord, to please, Lord God, use the time that we're together, Lord. Use your word as it goes forth. Father, I pray you would remove me. Lord, help me, I pray. Lord, I need you. And God, every time that I stand, Lord, I understand even more that I need you, God. And Lord, I cannot do, the preaching, Lord, on my own. Father, I need you. And Lord, please speak through me. I pray you would help us to be attentive, Lord, to the word. And Lord, may you use it in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And so one of the greatest gifts that we as believers that we receive, I believe, is the gift of prayer. And aside from the gift of salvation, whenever we're saved, obviously that's the greatest gift that we can receive, is the gift of salvation, knowing for certain that we're on our way to heaven. We've had our sins forgiven. And aside from that, I believe that greatest gift is that of prayer. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Prayer is, I believe, the Christian's greatest asset, yet it is rarely by the Christian accessed. And one of the areas that I believe every Christian can grow in is this area of prayer. The ability, if you will, to go before the one who controls everything. I mean, think about it. This area of prayer, being able to go to the one that that put it all together, if you will. Being able to go to the one that, if you will, that created these bodies that we live in that fail us, and he knows all about the functionality of the bodies that we live in and the makeup of them. And he can cause the winds to cease and make the sun to shine. And he holds the stars and the planets in place. And the Bible tells us that he holds the heart of the kings, if you will, in his hand, and he controls them. I mean, think about the power of prayer, the ability to go to the throne of grace. What an amazing, what an awesome thing, what an awesome gift that has been given to us. And I guess the thought process or my mind was taken to this matter of prayer as a result of the prayer meetings that have recently began on Sunday evenings. Brother Hewitt said something about it earlier, and I would encourage you, man, come out and be a part of those. And I like to be in prayer meetings where we as a church collectively go to the Lord, asking the Lord to work in the ministry here and to work in the different ministries here. And I believe it is one of the greatest assets that we have. Let me just say this. I've been given some gifts throughout my life. And, as I'm given gifts, I like to use them. I don't like to get gifts and just set them on a shelf and hold on to them. I like to use them. I've been given a few gifts throughout the years. I remember whenever I was in college, when I was a college preacher boy, and we would go to different churches and we would have meetings and we would preach. And at one of those meetings, someone noticed that it was a poor testimony, I thought at the time, but I was thankful for the gift. But someone had noticed that that my shoes were a bit worn. And after the service, after all was done, a gentleman came to me and he gave me a brand new pair of shoes. And you know what? I didn't take those shoes to the house and put them on the shelf, Brother Crow. Man, I needed them. And I put them to use. I swapped out those old shoes that were worn out, the soles about to come off of them, and maybe even some holes in them. And I put those new shoes on and I put them to work. I think about some other gifts throughout the years. There been folks that that they have gifted my wife and I with gift cards to different restaurants and such. And can I tell you, I don't have to tell you, but I will tell you, we don't just stack them up and see how many we can get, Brother Anthony. We use them. And you can look at me and you can tell that. And I don't make a practice of seeing how many of them I can collect before we begin to use them. I've received firearms as gifts. I remember particularly receiving a 30-06 rifle here several years ago as I had just gotten into deer hunting. And you know what? I didn't take that rifle and take it home and put it in a safe and leave it there. No, I was interested in getting involved in some deer hunting, and so I took that rifle, and man, I began to use it, and praise the Lord, boy, throughout the hunting season this year, I was able to harvest a few deers with that gift. I want you to understand what I'm getting at. The gifts that we receive in our lives, we don't store those up, we use them. Why is it, can I ask you, that the gift of prayer, we don't use it like we would use those gifts that were given in our personal lives? So we have the gift of taking our needs, taking our concerns, and taking our burdens to God, yet we neglect that opportunity. The writer of Hebrews, he says in verse number 16, notice back there, he says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Looking back at, as he makes that first statement there, look back at verse number 14 and verse number 15. He says, "Let us therefore," he's saying, hey, because of verse number 14 and 15, "seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And then he says, hey, because of that, because we have a great high priest, because we are going to the one who can handle any problem, because we're going to the one that can heal any disease, any sickness, because we're going to the one that can halt any heartache, he says, hey, let us go to him. Because we're going to the Father, because we're going to the one that can handle those situations, he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. James in chapter number 4, verse number 2 says this, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not." Familiar verse to most of us. I read a quote here not too long ago. It said this, said, "Without regular fervent prayer, we may produce much activity, but we won't see lasting spiritual fruit." Without regular fervent prayer, I'll say it again, we may produce much activity, but we won't see lasting spiritual fruit. Thomas Brooks, an old Scottish pastor, he said this, he said, "The power of religion and godliness lives, thrives, or dies as closet prayer or private prayer lives, thrives, or dies." D.L. Moody said, "I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher." Jesus Christ never taught his disciples to preach, but only how to pray. Paul said this, 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 8. He said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says this, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men. Jesus said this in Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Boy, I think prayer is an important part of the Christian life. I think prayer is a vital area that many of us miss. I think prayer is an area that many Christians day in and day out, we neglect this gift that God has given to us, the ability to go before Him and take any need that we would have, to take any concern that we would have, to take any opposition that may be in front of us, to take anything before Him. Now, I want to speak to you just for a moment on this thought. What am I saying when I don't pray? What am I saying when I don't pray? When I don't pray, I believe, first of all, I'm saying that it's unimportant. Jesus in Matthew chapter number 26, and you can turn there if you'd like to, Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is with Peter and James and John, as we would know the inner circle of those disciples. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to be betrayed by Judas, and he's about to go before the judgment hall, if you will, and then on to the crucifixion. In Matthew chapter 26, picking up in verse number 36, the Bible says this, he says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Verse number 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me an hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man's betrayed into the hands of sinners. Here we see three times that Jesus, he returns to the disciples that were considered, if you will, that inner circle, or those that were the closest to him, and he finds them three times sleeping. Why was that? I say it wasn't their life that was about to be taken. It wasn't important enough to them, if you will. Jesus, as he's about to face the cross of Calvary, as he's about to have his clothes stripped from him and embarrassed in front of the whole world, about to be mocked and ridiculed, he's about to be beaten and cursed and falsely accused, and the list goes on. And it was important to him. But it wasn't nearly as important to those disciples there. But may I say to you tonight, friend, before we bash those disciples, before we throw them under the bus, if you will, too badly, listen, many of their worst, if you can, mishaps are better than our best. We see here the disciples allow prayer to take a back seat to sleep, if you will. But can I say to you, many a Christian, they may not allow prayer to take a back seat to sleep, but maybe to things such as work and things such as hobbies and friends and family and maybe TV programs and maybe a little bit of overtime and maybe a little bit of Facebook and some Pinterest or some things of that nature. Listen, friend, we wonder why we aren't spirit controlled and why we struggle to see our ministries grow and why we struggle to see folks down the aisle and see us lead folks to Christ and etc. We think that we can get by without it, friend. It's unimportant to us. The fact of the matter is that you can't get by without it. I can't get by without it. When we try to get by without it, can I say to you, Satan prevails. Our flesh prevails. Might we remember that, hey, without him, I can do nothing. I need him. I need that private time alone with the Master that will allow me to understand that every day temptations and the struggles of life allow me to stand against those temptations and those struggles. A recent study showed that, here's some interesting facts for you. Now, the average person lives 77 years. Now, I don't know how long ago this study was taken, all right? So if you know something a little bit more, that's okay. When you stand up, you can tell them your numbers, all right? But what I found was the average person lives 77 years. That equates to 28,000 days, 670,000 hours, or 40 million minutes, all right? The average person, in consideration to that, spends 24 minutes a day getting dressed. That equals 13 hours a month, 7 days a year, or 1 year in a lifetime. 1 year getting dressed, all right? I think that was probably for a male, all right? listen to this. The average person, average, all right? There's some that spend more. The average person spends 40 minutes a day on the phone. That factors out to 20 hours a month, 10 hours a day, or 2 years in a lifetime. The average person spends 1 hour a day in the bathroom. Wow. This amounts to 30 hours a month, 15 days a year, and 3 years in a lifetime. I don't know who did that study. Average person spends 3 hours a day watching television. That's 90 hours a month, 45 days a year, 9 years watching television in a lifetime. The average Christian spends less than 10 minutes a day in prayer. That equates to less than 6 hours a month, 3 days a year, only 7 months in a lifetime in prayer. What an indictment. Oh, listen, friend. I believe prayer is an important thing. What am I saying when I don't pray? I'm saying, hey, it's unimportant. Oh, it's all right, God. I got something else that I need to do. I don't have time to pray. It's okay for me to do without the prayer time. Oh, no, friend. It's not okay. Hey, listen, I need him every hour. I need him every hour of every day. What am I saying when I don't pray? I'm saying, number one, it's unimportant. I'm saying, number two, it's unnecessary. Not only is it unimportant, but it's unnecessary. Many times when we don't pray, it's because we think it's unnecessary. You say, what do you mean, Brother Nichols? We've got the mindset of what I like to call the Calvinist prayer mindset. Well, God's going to do what he's going to do anyway. Doesn't matter if I pray or not. God's going to do what he's going to do. And friend, can I tell you, that's the mindset of a Calvinist on salvation. The Calvinist, they won't go knocking on doors. They won't go witnessing house to house. Why? Because they believe that, God's going to save who he wants to anyways. Listen to me, friend. And many a Christian, they have that mindset when it comes to prayer. Well, God's going to do what he's going to do. It doesn't matter if I pray or not. If he wants to heal him, he'll heal him. If he wants to do this, he'll do this. If he doesn't want to, he won't do it. Can I say, friend, many a Christian's attitude is that. But can I remind you, Matthew chapter number 17, verse number 20 and verse number 21, the Bible says, verily I say unto you, as Jesus is speaking to his disciples there, he says, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Isaiah chapter number 38, you read the account of Hezekiah. As Isaiah would go to Hezekiah, you may know the story there, but Isaiah goes to Hezekiah and he gives him the message from God. He says, hey, get your affairs in order and your days are numbered. Immediately, Hezekiah, what does he do? He turns his face to the wall, the Bible tells us, and he prays to God. He cries out to God and he says, God, you know me. You know the life that I've lived for you and how that I've tried to live for you. As Hezekiah turns his face to the wall, God gives a message back to Isaiah. Isaiah goes back to Hezekiah. He says, hey, you know what? God's added 15 years to your life, Hezekiah. Now let me ask you, was God going to give him 15 years anyway? According to the scripture, we don't find that. According to the scripture, the Bible indicates that it was because of the tears and because of the prayer of Hezekiah. Listen, friend, hey, that prayer life, it is necessary. Hey, that loved one that's on their way to hell, hey, it is necessary to go before the throne of grace and ask God, God, please save them. Hey, that one that's astray from God, hey, it is necessary to go before the God of heaven and say, God, would you please touch them, Lord God? Would you please convict them? Would you please get them back to where they need to be with you? Hey, it is necessary to have that prayer time with God. Can I say to you, prayer moves the heart of God. Listen, there are those with a mindset that will say, as I said before, to an extent, God's going to flourish the church if he wants to. Well, if God wants to grow it, it'll grow. There's those that they have the mindset of, well, if God wants to provide that need, he'll provide it. There are those that would have the mindset, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. God will give me the kids that he wants to on the bus. God will grow that Sunday school class if he wants to. God will do this, God will do that. Or maybe, friend, God is saying, how serious are you about this thing? Prayer moves the heart of God. Oh, listen, friend, it is necessary for us to go before God in prayer and cry out to God and bring our burdens, bring our cares, bring our concerns, bring those lost loved ones, bring those that are out of the will of God, bring those that are in need of God before him, because prayer moves the heart of God. It's necessary. What am I saying? When I don't pray, I'm saying, number one, it's unimportant. I'm saying, number two, it's unnecessary. I believe when I don't pray, last of all, I'm saying that I have unbelief. It's unimportant. It's unnecessary. And I have unbelief. John chapter 14, turn there if you will. John chapter 14. Just look at a couple of verses. Look at verse number 13. Look at verse number 14. These are familiar verses to us. But you know what I think we do? I think we get lost in the busyness of life and we forget. You know what? Man, this is important. Boy, I ought to take part in that. Man, this is a key, essential part of life, of the Christian life. And I need to come before God in prayer and bring others before God in prayer, believing that God will answer my prayer. John chapter 14, verse number 13, the Bible says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Look at Matthew chapter number 7 real quick. Matthew chapter 7. Just a couple of verses there. Look at verse number 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Pretty elementary, isn't it? Ask, and you'll receive. Hey, seek, and you'll find. Hey, knock, and it'll be opened unto you. What am I saying when I don't pray? I'm saying, I don't believe God. I don't believe you. God, I don't believe that you can supply that need. God, I don't believe that you'll save that lost sinner. God, I don't believe that you'll build my bus route. God, I don't believe that you'll help my mama get off of cigarettes or alcohol or drugs or whatever it may be. God, I don't believe it. Listen, friend, it really is that simple. If I believed it, why would I not go to God? Why would I not go before Him and ask Him? He says, hey, come ask and it'll be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened unto you. God, I really don't believe that you can do what you said you'd do. I'll just turn the TV on, watch another program. Listen, friend, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. If we believed it, we would go. If we believed it, we'd spend time in prayer. Hey, if I believed what God said, if I believed that God can supply that need, I'd go to Him in prayer. If I believed that God could save that loved one, I'd go to Him in prayer. It'd be on my heart. I wouldn't be able to get away from it. I mean, I would spend countless time in prayer asking God if I really, truly believed it. It's a $20 bill right here. If I believed that if I took this $20 bill and planted it in the ground and it would grow more $20 bills, I'd plant it. I'd find as many of them as I could and I'd plant them, Brother Anthony. Many as I could. I'd go to the bank and, man, I'd probably steal some money to try and get some $20 bills. If I truly believed that it would multiply, I'd plant all that I had, I'd borrow from those around me and try to find it everywhere I could. And I say to you, the reason we don't pray is because we truly just don't believe. We truly don't. Think about some of the old timers. Think about George Mueller. Many of you know the life of George Mueller. George Mueller would pray. He was he headed up the orphanages, and many of you have read about George Mueller. And George Mueller, many times they'd be without food. They'd be in need of things. And George Mueller began to pray. He began to cry out to God, God, I don't know how I'm going to feed these kids. God, we don't have enough here to feed them. God, we don't know where it's going to come from, God, but we know that you can supply it. And you know what? Many a times, God would cause, during that time of prayer, somebody knock on the door. Mr. Mueller, we don't know what's going on. We don't know why the Lord told us to bring it, but here it is. I remember one particular instance. George Mueller was praying, and the milk truck broke down right out in front of the orphanage. Many of you have heard that story. Why was that? Why was it that God would supply that need for George Mueller? Because George Mueller believed. He believed that if he got on his knees in prayer, he believed that if he went to the throne of God, he believed that God could supply the need that he had. Why is it that many of them would see God work in a great and mighty way in their life? You read of the old-timers, old-time preachers and such that would see God move in their revival meetings. Why was it that they would see God move? Because they believed that God would. And they spent time in prayer. They'd spend weeks and hours and hours upon hours in prayer asking God, begging God, God, please show up. God, please save the lost. God, please work in a mighty way. Why? Because they believe, friend. What am I saying when I don't pray? I'm saying, number one, it's unimportant. I'm saying, number two, it's unnecessary. And I'm saying, last of all, I have unbelief. Boy, it ought to be a conviction to all of us. Or it ought to be convicting to all of us that we spend more time in prayer. Think about those statistics. 9 hours, was it? No, 7 months. 7 months in a lifetime. The average Christian spends in prayer. Oh, can I urge you? Can I encourage you? Man, let's get busy. Boy, if we'd spend time in prayer, there's no telling what God would do in this place. If we spend time in prayer, listen, friend, there's no telling what God can do in this country. If we spend time in prayer, hey, there's no telling how many we'd see come to Christ. If we'd spend time in prayer believing that God can do what He said He would do. May we be people of prayer. Boy, I want to be a prayer warrior. I'm not, I don't believe. But I want to be. Boy, there's a need for those that would be prayer warriors, those that would access the throne room of grace. Would that be you? Well, I would encourage you, man, get busy. Find you an area. Find you a prayer closet. Find you a private place that daily you can spend time in prayer, crying out to God for country, for your church, for the lost, for those around you that are away from God. May we be people of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, God. Thank you for your word. God, I pray that, Lord, you would use it, Lord. I pray that you would help us, God, to be people of prayer. Lord, forgive us, Lord, for not bringing our petitions before you, Lord. Forgive us for not having a burden and praying for the lost like we ought to, and praying for our country and praying for our leaders. And God, help us, Lord, to spend time in prayer with you, God. I pray that you'd help us, Lord God, to understand the importance, God, of spending time with you daily. Lord, may we be faithful, Lord, to your ministry, Lord, and I pray that you would bless this church. I pray that you would bless the pastor, help him, Lord God, as he's sick. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you for the gift that you've given us of prayer. May we use it in Jesus' name. Amen.